Welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 5, episode 4, episode number 184. How is it going?
Good. Just great.
Awesome. We are almost done with July. What do we call it? Jalaugust? Like, Jalaugust is in full steam.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
I don't know where anything, what it, the time no. is. Zachary asked me tonight at bedtime. He was like, what day do I start first grade? And I was like, August 17th. He goes, okay, so that's like 2 months from now. And I was like, no, baby, that's 3 weeks from now. He's like, how could it be 3 weeks? The summer just started. And I was like, oh, sweetie, welcome to the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's always going to feel that way. Feeling never goes away. Even in quarantine, that feeling doesn't go away.
Jay and I were talking this past weekend. I looked at him at one point. I was like, you know, I can't remember April. I was like, and I'm pretty sure I can't remember May. And he was
April
like,
April was a doozy.
Yeah. It was just,
what was April? Sure
we did, but it was a doozy. Yeah.
Was
yeah.
it?
We were, because, like, I feel like that was, like, maybe, like, 10 or so days into all of us going into quarantine.
Right.
Like, that was still the beginning.
Right. You were still able to count how long you'd been in quarantine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I remember March. I do. I remember March. I don't remember April. I think Easter happened.
Yeah. Really sure. Usually falls in April.
Yeah,
it was April 12th.
Busy time at work for me. Like, it's always a busy time at work for me. And then we were also in quarantine. So April was kind of insanity.
Okay. See, April.
I remember that. And I remember being very happy when we made it to May.
April was probably fairly quiet for me. I only had a couple of things because we were kind of pulling back to let people figure out what their schedule was before we kind of did like our stuff. So we were kind of quiet in April, but May was very busy. I was like really busy in May, but I can't really remember it too much. And now it was like, I don't know, 100 months ago. So here we are.
Yeah. It's like I got an email from a coworker today, like following up on something that they had emailed about in April. And they're like, remember this? Like, I finally got like the details to like go ahead and proceed. I had to go back and look because I was like, no. No, I don't. I don't remember what this is. Was this something you asked me to do and I forgot to do? And it's like I responded back. I was like, oh, I feel like I've lived a million lives since April.
A million lives since April.
A million lives. A million.
Yeah. I know. But yeah, how is it going otherwise? Our first broad topics is out right now. I think that it went really well last night. I didn't intend to re-listen to the whole thing. I knew there was a couple of weird spots in the beginning I wanted to take out, and then we had like a 10-minute discussion at the end that about schooling, and I wanted to cut that down to about 3 or 4 minutes, so I had only intended to do the beginning and the end, but then I was enjoying it so much that I just listened to the whole thing.
Nice.
So, excuse me, check that out if you are looking for something to listen to. We had a great group of listeners who participated in the Zoom call. We talked about a whole bunch of stuff, including what's going on in Portland right now with the and we didn't even like fully finish talking about what's going on in Portland and the heroes that are coming out and the fact that suburban moms were sitting there chanting, hands up, don't shoot me. As a lullaby, and I know it's a lot of the stuff is just very, very chilling and beautiful to watch. Or the Navy veteran who thought that, you know, the secret police that were there may have been military like him, and he wanted to talk to them and remind him. And he's like this 50-something-year-old, like, you know, dad who's, you know, a veteran, retired. He wanted to, like, go talk to them. And he stepped out just in, a t-shirt that said Navy and, like, you know, nothing, like, threatening whatsoever. He's, like, this doughy, like, dad figure. And there's video of, you know, him trying to talk to them. Like, remember the oath that we all swore to protect and uphold the Constitution? Like, this is not constitutional. And they just beat the shit out of him and tear gassed mm-hmm. him as they were beating him. And there's a video out there, and he just stands there with his arms down and takes it and doesn't flinch whatsoever. You know, clearly he has injuries, but, like, you know, we didn't talk about that. And, like, you know, there was so much, but this is not like a don't listen to it. We had a lot of really fine discussion. We had great discussion. We had firsthand perspective from Will, who lives in Portland. We talked about conspiracy theories. We talked about the case of the missing libertarians. which I almost called it I almost named the episode that, but because Jay was like pulling for it, he's like, you should call it that. And I was like, I don't know. That's, you know, I don't know. I don't want to, like, whatever. And then in the end, we called it what we called it because we also talked about manifestos and how Shandy wants to, like, reclaim them.
I love that. Reclaiming manifestos.
It's like, I think your exact quote was, we should take those back. They just don't mean what they used to mean.
It's true. I like it.
It was hilarious. But yeah, no, I think we had a really good discussion, and we would love anybody out there to join us on August 17th. It's a Monday night, approximately 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. If there's a time that works better for listeners or whatever to get, like, more people involved, let us know. We're flexible. Like, our goal is to have as many voices as possible to talk about what's going on. And, you know, I had a great time listening to everybody talk. And yeah, so thank you to those who came to do that with us this month. But yeah,
cool. You're here.
What do you guys
that was a lot of fun, and I think a good outlet. Yep. And it was really great that it was interactive. Like you were saying, Colleen, we didn't get to every facet of what's happening in Portland, but part of that was because we have somebody who lives there who could talk about his actual experience with it. So I thought that was great, and I can't wait for next time.
Yes, yep. Me too. Sure. So what have you guys been up to? I've done literally nothing over the last week. Literally nothing, except I watched Palm Springs, and it was really adorable.
I watched Palm Springs.
Did you like it?
I did. I did. I think.
I didn't expect to like it because Andy Samberg annoys me, but I found it, like, charming.
I found it charming. I think it said a lot of interesting things. I felt a little guilty watching it because it's just so white.
Yes.
Yeah, I was really disappointed by how white it is. Well, not even disappointed. I mean, it's Andy Samberg. It's not like I was expecting a ton of diversity, but it was a good reminder that it's still a very big problem in film, not just big studio films, but in independent film, in making sure that there is a diverse, different shades of people across the board and not just as background actors.
Yeah.
Because that's the only time you saw anyone that was a different shade. They were just in the background. And it's like that doesn't cut it anymore. So while, yes, I enjoyed the movie and I thought it was funny. And what's the actress name? Kristen Minotti?
Yes. Minotti, right?
Yeah. From How I Met Your Mother and mm-hmm. Once, the musical. Like, she's great, and I loved seeing her in that. I felt like this was a really different character for her. It did leave me a little disappointed just on that front.
I agree. I thought the story was charming in general. But, yeah, that's a really great point, Amanda. Because there was no reason why it couldn't have been. I mean, it wasn't mocking, you know, like, rich white people. It was, you know, just kind of like a definitely different story to be told. So, yeah, no, I agree. But, yeah. You guys do fun things. So, what did you – anything else?
I rewatched Selma over the weekend to make up for nice. All the white movies I watched the weekend before. I forgot how good it was. You know, it's just after John Lewis's passing, I said to Daniel, I was just like, we have to, you know, I either need to watch Selma or there's a new John Lewis documentary that's streaming right now. But
yes, we started it.
Is it good? Do you like it?
Yeah, so far. We started it at like 10:30 at night, so we didn't make it very far. But we're gonna probably finish it over the weekend, you know, broadcast last night. Tonight, Jay does what's it called? His Geek Dad Live on Thursday. Like our next chance to like actually do something together is Friday. So yeah, we're gonna hopefully finish it. But yeah, we started that too.
Yeah, let me know what you think. I really do want to watch it. But we agreed on Selma, and I just forgot what a great movie it is. And it was also really all the more poignant because then the next day, my treat for myself, I get up every Sunday and I watch CBS Sunday Morning. It's like my treat to myself. It's the only like good, you know, feel good news I feel like that we can find right now. So I really make a point to get my butt out of bed and like watch it for real, because now they don't put the full show on the app anymore because they're not getting preempted with governor briefs anymore. So I have to get up and watch it, you know, and the whole news cycle, we're doing all of their in memoriams for John Lewis, and to watch all that footage of, you know, Bloody Sunday. Just watch all that footage of Bloody Sunday and to see the archival footage of him walking over the bridge and to see just how true and realistic Ava DuVernay kept those scenes in the film. Like they really are spot on with some of the archival footage, from like how they dressed to like the way they were moving. It was just really, really all the more emotional for it. And it gave me a whole additional level of appreciation for the movie and just what a damn good filmmaker she is.
Yeah. 13th is still on my list.
That's a great one too. That's a really great doc. It's long. It's long.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. The other night, and we ended up watching Great British Bake Off, because we were like, what do we want to watch? And it was probably like 9:30. And I was like, okay, well, here's the things on my list. Epstein documentary, the one on Netflix, 13th, The Morning Show, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, or The Great. And Jay just looks at me, he's like, do you have anything that's like just we don't have to pay attention while watching on that list? And I was like, Great British Bake Off?
Oh, now which season did you start with? Did you start with the Netflix seasons, or did you go back to the beginning with Mel and Sue and Mary Berry?
No,
this is very important because they are very different shows.
I know they're very different. It was a season that we were watching when we talked about this like 2 years ago that we just stopped watching. It's the one where Ruby is on it, and Ruby and the woman with the eyeshadow. And I only remember Ruby's name because I have a super huge crush on her because she's absolutely beautiful.
Oh my God. And she's just so funny. She's just like gorgeous and smart and a great baker. And she's like, oh God, I've ruined it. I'm terrible. Oh, what? What
is I know. And then she finishes like second in technical.
She's like, I can't understand.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
But we've been very slowly, like, we started that 2 years ago and we've been very slowly watching it. Also, I just totally snorted. Sorry.
It was okay. I loved it.
I need a tissue.
Always here for a good snort.
I need a tissue.
All right, we can pause. We can pause.
I had to pause this for a quick second. Hold on.
Okay. Ooh, saw that coming.
All right, I think we're going to have to go to a quick commercial break. Now instead of later. All right, we're back. I've blown my nose. Amanda has tended to, she had a seed in her drink. Stay tuned for that in the bloopers. Everybody's good now. We only made it like 15 and a half minutes into the show as of recording.
We're doing great.
You know, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I've had to put double ads in at the end of the show. So now there's like three ads I keep getting yelled at by Spreaker, who hosts the show, that I need to have, I think it's 6 or 7 ads, mid-roll ads in it, not including the beginning and the end ones. And, like, they keep yelling. They like, give me, like, big, angry, red, like, not enough ads. And I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do here. So like I solved it by doing the double ads at the end of the show and then like the one that we do usually in the middle, and then it's still not enough, but I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. So if anybody like sees like our shows and you know you think they're like 300 hours long, there's a very good chance that it's just
loaded with commercial breaks.
Loaded with ads but padded like at the start and the end, because I don't want to like, you know, be annoying in the middle like with the advertisements. But anyway, yeah, so that's a thing that you might have to start looking forward to. But I'm trying to put them in places where they are easy to like just hit skip 30 and like, or skip 30 twice just to like, you know, not have them. But yeah, that's a thing that started happening over the last like 2 or 3 weeks where I've gone back and put like them in, but still I think they want 6 or 7, and I'm like, I
that's a lot of ads.
I know.
Also, people aren't going to listen for that many in a row. They're going to skip them. So well, it's I think you're that not doing your advertisers any favors.
I think, yeah, no, you're not doing them any favors, but I think the point is also to put them in, like have several commercial breaks during your show, and you know, then do that by having several, like, you know, double ads to try to, like, I don't know. At some point, we may have to do it, because remember when we weren't doing the one in the middle, just the ones on either side, and then they started putting an ad a minute into the show to force you to do it? At some point, they very well may force us to do that. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But anyway, that's the reason why. So if you look at our shows and you think they're too long, keep in mind that there might be some skippable content in there. Anyway, I don't even remember what we were talking about before I snorted boogies out of my nose. What was it?
A bunch of movies that I haven't seen that I need to put on my list. But I did finish a couple of things since last we spoke. Mm. And that would be Little Fires Everywhere and Mrs. America.
Ah, Mrs. America.
Oh, you're so good. You're so good with doing the homework.
I'm usually not, so I'm feeling very good about myself right now. And I mean, Mrs. America was great. Little Fires Everywhere, I mentioned, I think, before that I kind of came around on it more.
You did.
And it was helpful. Yeah, when we first talked about it, I was like, meh. But after I got over this, like, episode 3 hump, and I think, honestly, like, watching it with Frank because he hadn't read the book was really helpful to get that perspective of somebody who's never read the book. I still think that sort of what I missed a lot in the TV show was a little bit more of the subtlety, which is, you know, arguably easier to do in writing than in TV, perhaps. There were certain points that were like really, I felt like they were hit over the head. But I really liked it.
Good.
Yeah. Nice. I'll have still to like the book it. Better, but definitely worth watching. And actually, Kayla sent me an article that was really interesting that was talking about how the character for Mia, her race in the book is never stated, and it's sort of just like left ambiguous.
It is left ambiguous. As somebody currently still reading it, hey, remember back in April when I like went on a mission to find this book, and now it's
Yeah, well, I mean, I as a reader, like, and as a white reader, I admittedly had assumed she was white because, I mean, maybe because I'm, you know, slightly an asshole, I need to like think about those things a little bit more, but also because authors, and I mean, she's not a white author, but authors oftentimes tend to only specify when the character is not white.
True.
But apparently, according to this article that Kayla sent me, the author, who is Asian American, had sort of, she said that she, and she worked on the show, but she said that in writing it, she had sort of thought of that character, of Mia's character, as maybe a black woman, but not being a black woman herself, like, didn't feel comfortable or appropriate representing that, which I found like really respectable and very interesting. And so she was kind of like happy then when the show did go there and they could have an actual black actress embody that person and work on the show with them.
Yeah.
So awesome. So that's good. And then Mrs. America's great. I finished it. And then after I finished it, like, Frank had like sort of been in the room at a couple of points during a couple of episodes. And so he sort of like saw, you know, that it was political, et cetera. And finally towards the end, he was like, I should be watching this. And I was like, yes, you should. So I finished it like on my computer so he wouldn't see it.
Nice.
And then we pretty much immediately went into episode one. Cause I was like, you know, if you want to watch an episode, like I'll totally rewatch the beginning. So I rewatched the first couple of episodes with him right after I finished the series. And then he has since continued on by himself, but it was really good. And actually I've had the Feminine Mystique, which was a Christmas present or birthday present or something present from Franck a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been just like on my bookshelf collecting dust. And I sort of, you know, it's like something that it was very thoughtful of him to get for me. But it's very long. And also, like, I kind of knew that there were, you know, that Betty Friedan was problematic. So it wasn't like the number one thing that I was rushing to read. But after the series, I actually started reading it because it was like, you know what? It, like, she can be problematic and I can still want to read the book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know what's in it. And so I started reading that. I'm also simultaneously reading Conspicuous Consumption, which is about the environmental imprint and that we didn't even know we had, which is really depressing, but the author is very funny. So
some real light reading is what you're describing here. Two very light, fluffy books.
Yeah, no, it's 2020.
Took a real turn there.
It's 2020 demands. Did I tell you?
Yeah, I'm glad you liked Mrs. America. I've been slowly making my way through it because I am watching on my own without Daniel. And because neither one of us go to work or anywhere anymore, it's very hard to carve out like a full hour of time to watch something that like just you're watching. Mostly because the times that I would have to do that, it's usually because Daniel's still working and Daniel's office is also our living room, which is where the TV is. So it's been very slow going for me. And it's been a lot of watching the show in like sort of 20 minute increments. Mm. So I couldn't even really tell you how far along I am. But I am really enjoying it. And I'm really glad you liked it. And I can't wait to finish it.
Yeah, it was super good. I was going into it. Like the reason that I hesitated from the get-go is just like knowing that the ERA didn't pass. I just kind of was thinking that it would just be too depressing. Mm. And it was still depressing, but also very interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting. And I like the structure of it, how they sort of each episode is based around one woman's story, but like everyone else's storylines kind of weave in. And it just, it feels like it's trying to make everyone a fully realized human, like faults and all. That like it tries to be really fair, which I appreciate.
And they did a fabulous job with the decor and everything. Like
it's a delight.
I just added it to the list. Another show you have to pay attention to.
The show open is also great. I love the open animation and the music and stuff.
Yes.
It always gets you really excited. I don't know that's the original song, but it's like the music from
Awesome. Well, cool. We'll see how far I get next week. Apparently, you know, I literally don't do anything during the week or the day, and I don't know. There's a lot of things that I want to watch.
No, same. It's like finding the time is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, even in like quarantine, I don't know about you guys, but like sometimes it's like I catch myself getting disappointed and I need to kind of like remind myself that that's like a crazy thought to have. But it's like in quarantine, I thought I would have all this like extra free time to watch TV, to like consume stuff. And then I find myself getting a little disappointed that like the reality is not living up to that. And then I have to kind of pause and be like, well, that's a ridiculous thing to think. Like that's okay. And that's good that like, you're not filling your whole day with tons and tons of television. Like that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I was expecting to have time for TV. I have made a bit of time, but as evidenced by what I was just saying about finishing this TV shows, but it's definitely not something that I do, I think, more than I was doing before. And I think what we couldn't have really seen coming, even though it's pretty logical, is like the increased screen time. So it's not as appealing to just sit down in front of the TV for, you know, additional hours. I work at a screen anyway at work, but it's different. Like it's just, it's so much more. Yeah. I will say I thought that I was going to have so much more time for exercise and that's really not happened. And that's also been a thing where it's like, oh yeah, it's okay to not be like hashtag winning quarantine. Like,
yeah,
everyone's in the same boat.
Yeah. That is the way to put it. Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
I misrepresented when I said everyone's in the same boat. Rich people are in the same boat that they've always been, but
just their own little yacht.
But it's stressful, and it's stressful.
They're literally in their same yachts, but like
yes,
some of them probably are quite literally spending quarantine on a yacht. I mean, if I had a yacht, that's where I would be quarantining.
Exactly, but like yeah, I mean, I've shared a couple of times with you guys on and offline, like I have gained, I think it's 9 pounds since Alex's birthday / my birthday in February. And, you know, I look at myself every morning and I'm like, I should do something about this. But then I put my sweatpants on and I'm like, I'm going to go put bacon in my omelet. And like, it just and I'm like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
But like, I will say I have not bought wine or had like wine, and I've tried to stop drinking beer during the week for the last couple of weeks. The wine actually has been like a good 2 months. And you know what? It turns out the wine wasn't my problem because I haven't lost any weight. But it's just like, I have actually been fortunate enough to, you know, be able to exercise, whether it's like go for a walk or Pure Barre has been streaming classes, and my old Pilates instructor who has left Raleigh, she's been doing Zoom classes and invited me back. So like I've been doing things, but like, you know, with the increased exercise has actually been, you know, come with an increased eating and like justifying such. So I do feel like I need to, like, at some point. And when I put Zach to sleep tonight, I had this thought. I was like, so we always give him, like, a 5-minute timer that we'll lay down with him after we shut the lights off. And he knows when it goes off, we're leaving. And during that 5 minutes, and I was like, I should ask Jay if we want to do Weight Watchers again. And then in that same 5 minutes, I was like, maybe not.
But bacon.
But bacon. At some point. But yeah, I don't know. I just, I think the moral of the story here is with quarantine stress, like everybody is there are some people that are hit harder and are having a lot worse. So like, please, when I say everybody is, I mean it like, you know, not to discount anybody that's like suffering worse, because we know that there are people that have it worse. But like, in general, like, a lot of people are having the same issues where, you know, you're watching more TV or your screen time is up, or you've, you know, discovered bacon in an omelet where you previously didn't. You know, or you're just more sedentary because you're at home with your children and you're not fortunate enough to be able to, you know, have another option for exercise. So, like, I feel like on some level, everybody is, you know, everybody but, like, you know, like the Betsy DeVos's of the world are, you know, having to make adjustments. And we're all in this together. So, like, if you've gained 9 pounds since February 9th, own it.
Yep, that is okay.
Anyway. All right. Moving on. If anybody else doesn't have anything, I was, you know, doing the BuzzFeed / Reddit scan today, and I came across this Ask Reddit from a month ago, and it's, what's a small act of kindness that you were once shown that you'll never forget? And I thought, oh, this could be like really nice just to like remind people that we're all in this together, even, you know, though some of us are affected more. So I thought that perhaps I would share some of the responses today.
Aww.
All right. I broke my foot and was trying to limp my way across campus with crutches in the pouring rain. Somebody ran over with their umbrella, walked across campus with me so I wouldn't get rained on. Nice. Aww. You know.
Nice.
Another one is neighbors asked to borrow my truck. I told them that I couldn't trust my truck because the tires on it were bad. The next day, my neighbor called and said that he was getting new tires for his Suburban and that I could have his old ones. He told me to just show up at a certain tire shop and they would put them on. Get to the tire shop and they put on brand new Goodyear tires. I asked what happened to the old tires I was supposed to receive. Shop owner said that they were old. The old tires story was just the old tires was just a story to get me in the shop. My neighbor had bought me a full set of new tires instead of the old ones, so that he said that I could have.
Aww.
Yeah, which I thought was super sweet. Okay, riding my bike on a long trip through Canada with about 50 miles to go, I had a major mechanical failure, stuck on the side of the road in a foreign country. Within 5 minutes, at least 10 cars had stopped to check on me. One guy loaded my bike in the back of the truck, drove me 30 miles to the border where I could catch a ferry back into the U.S., amazing kindness and generosity towards a stranger. He just asked that I pay it forward, and to date I've helped 5 cyclists who were broken down in Aww. Honor of that promise. And I love that because, you know, we're all in this life together. Like, just
yeah.
Nobody is an island.
The next one is I was 9 years old waiting for the school bus in Wisconsin winter. I had a thin coat, no hat or gloves. Woman driving past saw me, stopped, gave me a blanket from the back of her car. It was a long, skinny one. She wrapped it around my head and shoulders like a big scarf. I remember thanking her but being confused. I told her I didn't know how I would give it back when I was done borrowing it. She hugged me and said, not to worry, I still have that blanket.
Oh,
oh, I like that.
I know, I like that one too. I think that as human beings, we're conditioned to assume the worst in people. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, if you've ever been in like a tough situation, most people are like you. Most people are just trying to get by. And if they are, I mean, obviously use your discretion on situation, but like if there is something where you think somebody is trying to scam you, like perhaps it's because they're embarrassed about their situation. Like, and it's just a reminder that most people are just, they're not here to, or existing in life just to like cheat you. They just literally want to survive. And I will never forget what Brian, our favorite DP specialist, told me when he was here for the Raleigh meetup in May 2018. And he was like, human beings are just built for survival. Like that's what mm-hmm. we're built for. So, you know, just, you know, remember that. And I do remember that. Like, it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's a really great point. Like, somebody's not asking. I know there's always the common, like, thing that, like, somebody's on the corner asking you for money because they just want to go get drunk. And it's like, well, maybe they're an alcoholic and maybe, like, that is what their, like, biology is telling them to do. It doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It just means, mm-hmm. like,
yeah.
you know, something else is controlling. And also, what the fuck do you care then? You know, why do you have to shame somebody for that? Like, I'm sure that majority of people in your, like, you know, circles have the same issue, but they can, like, afford to buy, like, their six pack. Like, it's just the shaming of people in general bothers me because nobody seems to ever remember that will find yourself or your loved ones will find themselves in a similar situation at some point. And if you don't ever find yourself or know somebody that does, it means that you're living on a yacht during a pandemic like Betsy DeVos, that fucking piece of shit. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Let's see. The next one is, I took my sister in a wheelchair to the cinema for the first time on my own. At the end, I realized I couldn't undo the brakes and was blocking everyone. I felt like crying because I thought everyone was pissed at me, but some nice lady helped me, then took me and my sister out. She said that she had a son who needed a wheelchair, It was long ago, but I'll never forget. It's always a small act of kindness. And then let's see, to finish up, let's find something. Oh, this one's sweet. A gym teacher purchased me lunch in third grade after I dropped mine. I'm 34 years old and I still remember this. Very sweet. Sorry, if you guys hear this jingle, and I know it's like noticeably heard in the broad topics, it's because my work laptop sits in front of everything else, so you can hear the Outlook like new email thing. Okay, and to finish up, because this one is a very girl power one. When I was at school, I helped a girl out when she was having a meltdown in the bathroom. A few weeks later, she pretended to be my friend who had been waiting for me to meet her when I was being followed home by two guys. We never saw each other outside of these two occasions, but I still think about her and hope that she's doing okay somewhere out there.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
This thread is great. It's another, you know, Ask Reddit thread, and the thread is called again, what small act of kindness were you once shown that you'll never forget? And there's a lot of, I mean, as all Reddits, there's a lot of responses, and you know, I would say 50% of them are probably like, you know, good people of the world.
Yeah.
Like this one. I was at a concert. A couple behind me gave me a VIP pass to get a picture with the artist because their friend couldn't come. We'll never forget it. And so, you know, a small reminder, like, take care of each other. Just be kind in general.
Yeah. No, well put. Well put.
All right. Should we take another commercial break? Just to...
all the we need to get about six ads in here.
It's true. I mean, help yourself out.
We don't need to, but I do need to stop and pee.
I do too.
Okay, cool. I was going to say, This is about our pee time. I'm just very preconditioned. Okay. All right, we are back, and we are going to get into some of our feedback. The first bit of feedback is book recommendations, and they are compiled from Matt Loves TV and Gail, who both had recommendations last week that we unfortunately didn't get to. So for Matt's quarantine reading recommendations, the first one is Upright Women Wanted by Sarah Gailey, who is Sarah Gailey wrote the Magic for Liars book that I read, which is the last book that I read, like finished reading.
The one I still haven't read. So, you know. You're not the only one not doing their homework.
But as you know, this is a story of a young woman who, after her girlfriend is executed, hitches a ride with a group of women distributing propaganda in a dystopian, or more dystopian, United States. She eventually discovers they are outcasts in the society, and she develops feelings for a non-binary person who is a part of this group of librarians, which, no, I did not almost read as libertarians, but that would have been also.
That would be a group of men.
The next recommendation is Vengeful by V.E. Schwab, the sequel to Vicious. The sequel to Vicious, which I think I recommended a while back, but is the continuing adventures of rival superpowered former friends, this time contending with a mob wife who can disintegrate anything with her touch, a shapeshifter, and organization hunting down people with powers. I think Vicious is the one that I added to my list because I love everything with like superpower things.
You should read The Power then.
I should. Mm. Music-wise, the latest albums from Margot Price and Haim are both solid. If Colony is looking for a dumb action movie to watch at home because she can't go to the theater, The Old Guard on Netflix, directed by Gina Prince Blythewood, may fit to the bill. I'm in. I don't know what it's about, but you said dumb action movie and I am all for it. Let's do it. Okay. I could also go on about The Last of Us Part 2, co-written by a woman and featuring gameplay almost exclusively dedicated to female characters. But this feedback is super last minute. Well, it was last week. So he also says, I listened to the new albums from the formerly Dixie Chicks, the Chicks, and the Pretenders both were pretty good. It's crazy how Chrissy Hynde still sounds after 40 years. Some more quarantine reading. I'm about a quarter through Empire of Gold by S.A. Chakraborty. I know we've tried to say this name before, Chakraborty. And I think it's going to be a satisfying ending to the Daivabad trilogy. And then Gail had a recommendation for books as well.
Yes, Gail did have a book recommendation in her email. She says, hi, ladies. Here are a couple of books that I've read. One is The History of Black Cinema. Title is Noteworthy. And the other is about Jim Crow, sharecropping, and early migration. And she gave us pictures of the covers. The first one is Toms, Coons, Mulattoes, Mammies, and Bucks, an interpretive history of Blacks in American film by Donald Bogle. That's the one about films. And then the other is African American Life in the Rural South, 1900 to 1950. And it's a collection that is edited by R. Douglas Hurt.
Cool. Thank you so much, Gail. We will put, and all these will be in the show notes. So just make sure you give a look out. And if you can't ever get anything, if for some reason the show notes don't show up for you or everything is weird, send us an email or a message. We will, we'll send it to you. I know sometimes it's gibberish for some people in browsers or whatever app you're using. Sometimes it isn't. So let us know. You know, we want to make sure that when we say something is in the show notes, it's, you know, there. So cool. All right, moving on to the Mass What She Says.
We would just hop on to the first come, first served.
And then you can go down.
It felt like it was much longer, but in a good way.
We could have done that a little different.
Please butt in.
They built a harness I could sit in.
It was so gross and dirty and disgusting, but also fun at the same time.
I'd love to know who said that and what that was about.
I did. I was talking about doing geocaches in the sewer.
I think that was when I got booted out and then came back in, and it was very confusing and hard to catch up.
That's right. That did happen.
Yep. All makes sense. I don't care if you're not going to do it, but I want to find somebody else to make it or get it someplace else.
I was talking about the bookshelf. I couldn't find anybody local to do it.
If we want to do more of them, we can do that too.
Please don't suck.
Why would somebody say that? That's just stupid. I got it.
Very sensitive. Some people are just very sensitive.
But if sure. they're very, okay, well, if they're very sensitive, this next one is for them. I got it. It took me a second, but I got it. I got there.
It just kept going in and out of the little hole it was making.
Oh, God. I haven't seen it, but I love it already.
I feel like that one's, you know.
Yeah, that one's Matt.
Objective.
You're slipping.
We're in season 5 and now we're like critiquing.
Weak sauce.
Maybe I won't finish this, but then I did. Okay, also. Oh, you guys left.
Redeemed.
Were you doing it virtually?
I'm fine so long as I don't stand up.
Finishing up.
No, keep going.
Those actually go really well together. Good job, Matt.
Nice, nice. There was no reason not to use it at home.
It's hard to do it when you're not at home. Which, okay, this is definitely not a Matt's What She Says because it's about pooping, I'm pretty sure. And those two actions are sacred. Just saying.
The woman who was getting it, put it on.
The back was on my neck.
You want to unmute yourself and then do it.
I finished mine ages ago.
It's called suspense building, my dear.
Oh, let me sit up for this one. Oh, that's pretty good.
It folds out and it folds back in.
Oh, that's clever. I did not know where that was going to go.
It's very handy to have you here. Thank you, Matt. That was a 95% good haul. Right. I'm teasing.
A solid A minus.
I feel like after 2 years, I can say that. All right, finishing up with some feedback. The first email is from John from Houston.
All right, John writes in about school in Texas. Just listen to 5.3 to crabs. I'm also a Cancer. I thought I would update you on what the state of Texas is doing for schools. We opened the bars, then closed them in the last 2 months. Restaurants are allowed to be open at 50% capacity. A bar is defined by the alcohol sales. 51% of alcohol sales is a bar. We have a statewide mask rule that law enforcement refuses to enforce. We're also leading the nation in COVID cases and deaths. Everything is bigger in Texas. Go figure.
I don't mean to laugh. I'm sorry.
I drive a special education school bus for a 46,000 student school district. In Texas, the school districts are called independent school districts as they are separated from the local government and have individual taxing authority. Of course they do in Texas. Mm-hmm. Jesus. The governing authority is the Texas Education Association. My district has decided to hold virtual classes for 3 to 6 weeks. Special education students need the structure and routine of attending class. We have not been given a start date. School is supposed to start on August 5th. We have been given very little information as to what is happening other than we will have to sanitize our buses at least twice a day. Our Republican governor wants to get the kids in school and people back to work as soon as possible to get the state's economy rolling. The lieutenant governor, also Republican, elected separately, has said a certain number of COVID deaths are acceptable in order to get the economy going. I suggested he go to the front of that line. Although I miss my work and hope to continue soon, I'm very concerned about the safety of the students and all the non-teaching employees. This includes aides, custodians, lunchroom workers, and administrative employees. We're not receiving much information. I'm in 2 risk groups for death by COVID and truly fear for my life. John from Houston.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I don't know. It just, like, I my heart breaks for you, John. Like, I just,
yeah.
The whole thing is it just, like, you know, we were talking about on the broad top. Last week, we were talking about in this episode, and we talked about on the broad topics at the end. Like, it's a really hard decision for schools, for students, for faculties. Apparently, for governors, it's not a hard decision because, you know, they're not on the front line. But, like, it is. Right. It is. It's difficult. And, like, I'm so sorry.
I know. I will say, though, like, going back to what we were talking about on broad topics, this lieutenant governor, who sounds like a real piece of shit.
The lieutenant governor of Texas. Wait, Shandy, he's the one that said that old people wouldn't mind dying to keep the economy and the stock market going. Like, he is that piece of shit.
I mean, because apparently he says a certain number of COVID deaths are acceptable in order to get the economy going. I have to give it to him. At least he's being upfront about his assholery. Like, that is, he is wearing his shittiness on his sleeve. Yep. So I can't call him, you know.
I just want to, like, hey.
Duplicitous.
Yeah.
It's awful. Like, you should not have to live in And again, we've talked about this with school shootings and like teachers and, you know, mm-hmm. school workers. Like, you shouldn't have to live in fear of going to your job and dying during the day. And like, we're in a totally different situation than like, you know, violence somewhere where you could just literally die because somebody sneezes on you. And then like 6 weeks later, like your body couldn't take it. And it's terrifying. It really, really is. Like, I think about it all the time. Like, I think like, you know, I'm young, I'm healthy, I exercise all the time. Like, what would happen if I died from it? I don't know. This pandemic has, I think, made us all more aware of two things. One, our mortality, and two, what we, not as like a extremist, but like what we as a whole society believes that like the government should do for us. Like, it's, I think that there are a lot, as obviously the polls have showed, I think it's a lot more obvious that people maybe now that they're being affected and not, you know, because they're fucking racist and don't look at how other people have been affected. Like, I think now, maybe now they're starting to think like, oh, maybe things aren't as great as we thought they were. And, you know, maybe they're not quite ready to hear, like, fucking duh, this is what we've been saying. But, like, I don't know. I'm of two minds. Like, point out, like, fucking duh. And also, don't point it out just yet. Like, wait until after November 3rd. Let them vote as they want to. Because, you know, people are also fucking shithead assholes. So, I don't know. I'm of all of the opinions. But, like, I don't know.
No, like, maybe Europe was onto something. But I think, to your point, like, yeah, of course, the quote-unquote pro-life people should be caring about this. But where are they? I mean, they are at home pretending or trying to convince themselves that their position is about anything other than simply controlling women.
Right.
We all know that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fucking care.
When push comes to shove.
Yeah.
It's about control.
Exactly. To me, it's about control in general. Like, it's not even like women, because they want to control women, they want to control people of color, they want to control indigenous people, they just want to, like, there's this mindset of human nature that just wants to, like, you know, be so, like, we're the best, we're the ones that are in control. And, like, sometimes it's like, you just want to ask somebody, does it change the price of beer? It doesn't change the price of beer. Like, you're still going to pay the same if somebody else gets this. So anyway, I don't know if this makes sense or not. I don't know if I'm going to edit it out or not, but like, I don't know. I don't know what that says about me, where I'm like paying for beer. Like, you know, that's
no, but it's the idea that like power is a finite resource, that by you giving up some of your position, that you're focusing more on the fact that you are losing something and not that other people are gaining.
Exactly.
It's just putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Thank you.
And also failing to see that it's actually good for you if other people are equal. I just hope that they make some good decisions in Texas, which I know feels like a weird thing to say, but here's hoping. And because I don't want John to be in danger. It does look like some places are coming around to the fact that, like, maybe we shouldn't send a bunch of kids back to school in places that are heavily like COVID positive. So we'll see. There's a couple more weeks left.
Yep.
Yeah.
Things seem to be changing by the moment. So
yes, they do. And, you know, as you pointed out,
that'll work in my favor.
Thank you, John. We hope that you stay safe. If you want to participate in the broad topics on August 17th, sorry.
Just show up.
Just show up. Bring a six pack of beer and just show up.
Our next email is from Vicky.
Ooh, dating during quarantine is the title of this email. And Vicky says, hey, broads, I'm writing in a reply to the topic of dating in the age of COVID that was brought up in your birthday live podcast, as that's something I've been trying to manage as well. At the beginning of the year, I signed up for a dating app and after a couple of different dates, met someone that I hit it off with. Let's call him M. Approximately a month before all the lockdowns happened. Biggest buzzkill ever, right? After, indeed, after our governor instituted the stay-at-home order, I went over to his place a couple more times to have dinner and watch a movie, as well as a running date, before I realized that I kind of needed to stop being so selfish. Good on you, Vicky. I needed to think more about my sister, who has asthma and was freaking out over all of it, as well as my coworkers that I was still seeing every day, especially since M's workplace is considered very high risk.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
We check in with each other via text maybe once a week or so, with a couple of phone calls as well. It wasn't exactly riveting conversation, more along the lines of seeing how the other has been doing, maybe talking about our week and wishing the other a happy birthday, as well as both, as we both had our birthdays in the intervening months. As restrictions have started to be lifted in our state, as well as the stay-at-home order, M has expressed a desire to get together again. I'm still very reluctant to do so, for the reasons I stated above, but finally acquiesced the other week that I would be willing to go for a walk with him. I did have to insist on no contact, and we would both have to wear masks. We've yet to schedule one yet, as I told him to let me know when he's available, and our schedules can be a little hard to mesh sometimes.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I think you're right to be cautious.
Totally. And I hope that he respects it, because it's weird and awkward, but also really important.
It sounds like he is, because he agreed to do so. So that's positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's like also, you know, kind of like a sign of a keeper.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, yeah, it's a good test for navigating the bigger challenges of life.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Vicky. Let us know how the walk goes.
Yes, please let us know.
Please.
They do say, like, research has, you know, shown that, like, outdoors is definitely better than indoors, you know,
totally, where
a lot of our infrastructure has terrible circulation. I don't know. Maybe it's because people cut corners to save money or something. It's almost like we prioritized that in America and now it's coming back on us. But, like,
what craziness.
I know. And we, like, don't regulate a ton of things that we should regulate.
Yeah,
better.
Regulation.
Maybe because we believe in, like, no government intervention and no rules and libertarian.
How dare you guys tread on my freedoms. Yeah. Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Screw the EPA.
All right. And I think we're going to finish up with an email from Andy that is from last week that I forgot to read. And I'm so, so sorry.
All right. Andy writes in this week in Andy Social Distancing. Hey, broads. I guess sex with a mask on would be a little weird considering how close you are already.
Well, especially now that they say that COVID can travel through semen, right?
Yeah.
Great.
Wear a condom and a mask. Not to mention, I am to understand the mouth plays a big role in a lot of sexual activities.
It's a rumor.
Truth be told.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Although it would make sense to cover up with all the heavy breathing and you could use dental dams for oral contact, I wonder how this pandemic is going to affect our kinks going forward. Well, at this point, with politicians getting ready to throw us into the fire, I may end up losing my virginity in a hazmat suit. Anyway, I don't have any articles this time around, and this is going to be a weird pivot from hazmat suit sex, but I wanted to wish Amanda a happy birthday. I'm sure you already went through the highlights, but hopefully you have a good year ahead. Hashtag I'm 6 feet from hers, Andy.
Oh, thanks, Andy.
Birthday month.
Yeah, birthday month. I'll take it. Thank you.
The one thing that I want to say is he says, I wonder how the pandemic is going to affect our kinks going forward. I don't mean to be like crude or whatever, but like human nature, our kinks aren't going to be affected.
Like, well, no, but they'll definitely be like pandemic porn. I mean, I'm sure it already exists.
Yeah.
But 100%.
life will find a way. Sexual kinks will find a way.
Mm-hmm. But so. I definitely think that, like, the, you know, sort of like fear of the unknown, the danger, the hazmat suits, maybe, like, will all sort of seep into our collective unconscious and come out in, you know, various artistic forms, let's say.
Hazmat porn.
Yet to be seen.
Hazmat porn, episode title. Just kidding. Don't hate it. Oh, good times. But this is actually episode 5.4, which is May the 4th. Force, ah, May the 4th, yeah. Ah, yeah, I feel
dedicated,
like,
to the other Matt.
Yes! So, I don't even know. There's got to be, may our 4th be with you. That sounds dirty.
May our 4th be in a hazmat suit. It's way too long and rambling. It doesn't make any sense.
May the hazmat be with you. We'll figure it out. We'll workshop it in post. You guys will never know.
May the force be in a hazmat suit.
May the hazmat suit be with you.
There you go. There it is.
We'll figure it out. Anyways, on that note, thank you, Andy, as always, for an email. Thank you, everybody who contributed to this episode. We really appreciate it. If you would like to send us some feedback, we would love that. We thrive on that. Thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or give us a call, 331-276-2373, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page, which is... we've got three different options. We've got the regular Facebook page, which is facebook.com/group/JandJackGroup. We have the actual broadcast page itself, which I honestly have no idea how you would search for that, but I feel like it's there. Maybe search the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. I don't know. Email me. I'll send you a link. It's fun. And then... we have the Patreon group, which always has everything as well. And if you'd like to become a patron at the $5 or more level to get into the Patreon group, you can go to patreon.com/JandJack or go to JandJack.com and click on the Become a Patron link at the top right-hand corner of the page. Thank you to the patrons that contribute a certain level, and that would be Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with the Plan, Greg the Gray, and Ed the Creepy Man. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it, as always. If you would like to shop through the Amazon affiliates link, you can go to janejack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters. That helps everybody on the network out a little bit. If you'd like to join the broad topics discussion, again, it's going to be next one is going to be Monday, August 17th at 9:15-ish. p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next week, we are going to have our Patreon bonus show, but we won't have a regular episode. It's going to be, I can't believe I'm committing myself to this right now out loud, but next week for episode 5.5, we're going to have the bonus show. I feel like I'm missing out on a chance for us to do a Cinco de Cinco show.
Cinco de Cinco. Yeah,
you want to maybe do that, and we'll do the because we have to like show up anyway to do the bonus show. Maybe we'll do a Cinco de Cinco show next week, and then the following week we can do the blooper show.
I mean, honestly, I didn't even realize that we were recording next week. So
yeah, no, that was
like, it's on my calendar. We're good.
Yep.
Oh my god, I did all of the schedule for the rest of the summer in different colored ink on my in my notebook. So this is gonna fuck me up a little bit, but I think I'll be okay. I've got whiteout tape, but all right. Next week,
thank God for whiteout tape.
Woohoo! So yeah, stay tuned for that. And then I guess the following week we will do a blooper show. The bloopers are coming. Hashtag bloopers are coming. So stay tuned for all that stuff.
Bloopers are coming.
on that note, if nobody has anything else, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Chandy.
Peace out, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay well. Thank you for listening.
Bye. Bye.